Raven, have you ever accidentally hurt somebody at work?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it was necessarily my fault, but I was involved in somebody being injured before. Why?
So the new James Bond movie is going to be out this week. This is the last time that Daniel Craig will be playing James Bond.
I know. I got to pour some out for my homie. I got to cry a little bit. He's my favorite Bond ever.
Okay. So he was talking about on the last movie, Spectre, how he accidentally broke Dave Bautista's nose. Here he is.
Oh, boy.
I broke his nose. He's a big guy. He's professional wrestler. You really wouldn't mess with him. And I threw this punch. I hit him on the nose and I heard this crack. And I went, oh, God, no, and ran away.
Do you think that Daniel Craig is secretly proud of the fact that he was able to break his nose in a single punch?
I mean, he's telling the story publicly, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Batista's nose has probably been broken before. So I don't know. With a nose, does it get weaker after that? People get hurt on the set of Bond. I do remember that he got hurt last movie or whatever, too. So it does happen on the sets of these movies.
I feel like all these actors want that challenge and they want to say they did their own stunts and they did this and do that. And all they do is end up injuring themselves and putting everybody else out of work for a couple weeks.
I had a couple incidents at the first radio station that I ever worked at. So one thing that we used to do when there was blizzards is we would tie like a tow rope for like water skiing to the back of the Humvees. And then we would drive them around the capital city because nobody else would be out during big snowstorms except us. I mean, these vehicles could basically run over everything. So I can remember coming around a turn or two and having a buddy that was on the back snowboarding, you know, fly right into a car.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't the type of thing that people could tell bosses or anybody else about because we'd both be fired.
Right, both be in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, it would be totally bad. And I can remember, too, that we did this thing one time. It wasn't a booze cruise, but it was like a listener cruise where we took them down to the river. And, you know, we went out on the boat. It was all sanctioned and paid for, and we had a good time. Then we came back, and because we had been drinking with the charter captain at that point, he was like, well, we don't really have to tune in. We could go back out for a while. And half the listeners stayed with us, and we went back out for a couple hours. And I can remember coming back. They needed help tying the boat up, and one of the other guys from the station was like, let me throw this rope over. He's like, I've been boating before all this. Of course, he's been drinking. And the boat, like, sandwiched his leg into the dock, and he had a hole in his leg that was, like, I don't know, a half inch wide.
Oh, did you also tell your boss about that?
He had to go get stitches.
Mm-hmm.
His story was his own.
Oh,
at
good.
That point, I was not truly involved at that point, but it was scary.
I feel like I never want to be on a work event with you when you've had a cocktail, ever.
Both of these seem safer than messing with Dave Bautista, though.
Raven went man camping over the weekend, and for a man who snores as much as he does, I was shocked by how concerned you were about all your friends' snoring habits.
You know, the truth is that I was really amazed at how many people were represented in snoring. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a lot of different types of snoring, frankly. And when you don't realize it, or you're not around it all the time, you know, I mean, obviously, when you're going to bed, if it's not your partner that's sleeping, you don't really know, right? Mm-hmm. That people are snoring all the time. And you don't realize that there's such a high variety, but they were all represented while on a camping trip.
What are the, I mean, I'm only used to my husband, who he just goes like this.
Yeah. Oh, he's the hisser. He's the snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the airflow guy, whichever way you want to look at it.
Is that what it's called?
I mean, you could come up with your own name, but he's a hisser, clearly. Okay. He's the snake sleeper. There's the whistler. That's a little bit over dramatized, you know what I mean, but it's a dramatic reenactment. But either way, there's the whistler. There's the bear. That guy's scary in the woods.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a large animal.
It's coming at you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't know whether or not it's going to be all right. There's the mumbler. This is my friend Chris. This is not actual audio of Chris, but this is exactly what he sounds like. So every time he breathes, he's making some sort of statement. I don't know what it is that he's saying. And with Chris, I swear, the statement was longer than the snore. It was like, he was like having a conversation.
Yes.
With himself while we were all sleeping.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're camping, some of the guys pass out. Like one guy will pass out at 8 a.m. Somebody will wake up, have breakfast, and then they'll go pass out at lunchtime. And it gets weird. You think that they're talking to you.
But he's just snoring in his weird talking snoring voice.
There's the jet. Or the plane that's taking off. See if you can hear the ascension.
Oh,
Obviously, it goes up.
Yeah.
Throttle up.
Yeah.
Throttle up.
Paul,
is what you have to do.
If Paul has too many glasses of Cabernet at night, he turns into that guy.
Well, there's the flip side of that one. Mm. There's the jet taking off. There's the small plane coming in for a landing.
Okay. That one, I feel like, is the wimpiest of the snores.
Yeah. That you can usually deal with that one. And then there's the scariest of them all. That's the choker.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
You think he's going to die?
All 100%. Night long.
Yep.
You're like, I mean, just go see a doctor. Like, seriously, guys.
But did anybody point out which type of snorer you are?
Nobody did. And that's the thing is, I actually fell asleep after breakfast on the second day. And they said that they thought I was dead in the tent because I didn't make a sound.
Oh.
You know, which seems weird because my wife always tells me that I make the most noise when I fall asleep.
See, I would always assume that you were the bear snorer.
You would think so.
But maybe you're the I'm just dead in the tent snorer.
Could be, you know. Either way, we were all represented there.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you're one of the millions of Americans that dress their dogs up, not for Halloween, but just for like a random Tuesday, that's all I need to know about you.
Come on. Don't be a jerk.
Raven, I know you're one of these people. And I was looking at this new list of like the 10 most common costumes for pets this year.
Yeah.
And the top three are a pumpkin, a hot dog, and a superhero, which is nice. And 31 million people, 51% of Americans dress up their animals for Halloween. And I get that.
My boys have been superheroes, tacos, dragons, all sorts of stuff.
Even Lila Bear, my puppy, like I will dress her up for Halloween to match the family costume. Yeah. Absolutely. But I don't understand the people that just dress their animals. I don't know. Because they think they need to wear a sweater. The dog doesn't need a sweater. The dog has fur.
Sometimes a dog needs a sweater if they're a little tiny dog and it's really cold out. These are the only things that my dogs really wear. So, and one of them is resistant to all coats or sweaters or anything like that.
Because
the other one, on the other hand, loves sweaters. Loves them. So if you come down, as soon as it gets chilly, you know, that time of year or whatever, you come down in the morning and you say, Baxi, you want your sweater. He gets all sorts of excited. He loves the sweater.
Okay.
He puts it on. He has various sweaters and sweatshirts. Uh-huh. He's got the fancy ones. Oh. He's got, you know, dirty roll around in the yard ones. He's got all sorts of them.
Got a whole variety of sweaters.
Yes, he does. Totally and Halloween. Home. Costumes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
It's totally fine. I'm just trying to keep my boy warm.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
All I need to know about you is if you put ketchup all over your fries rather than on the side, that's all I need to know.
If you put ketchup on your eggs, that's all I need to know about you. And if you put ketchup on steak, that's all I need to know about you.
Ew.
Oh, no. Can't do it.
We definitely should not put ketchup on your
steak. I have to be in the mood.
I can't do it. I can't do it. Thank you for the call.
Like, don't people's fingers get dirty when they put it right on top of their fries when they squirt it like that?
I'm a dipper, but it depends on the fries. But if I'm going to put it on the fries, never all over. Like, it's got to be on one half of the fries so that there's a dipping handle on the other side of the fry.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
When people steal food off my plate. That's all I need to know about you.
I mean, are they taking a bite of your steak? Or what are they taking from your plate?
You try and take a bite of my steak, there's going to be a problem. I have stared down my wife for doing something crazy like that. French fry, you're just a jerk. Steak, you're in trouble.
It depends, because as a parent, you know, there's like the fry tax. Like, I have to take one of their chicken nuggets, I have to eat a couple of their fries.
Yeah, but
my husband, there's no boundaries. I'll eat right off his plate, but you can't just eat off like a B-level person's plate.
Listen, your children belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you want to do with their fries,
right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't belong to you, all right, pal? I better have a heaping plate of fries. You can come over and think you're going to grab one of mine.
If you had a plate of chips next to you right now, I would put four in my mouth.
Gross.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. I don't like it.
Wait, you're going to want one. I'll tell you right now, you're going to be different in a year or two when everybody's got one and they come out with the second model. This was an awesome announcement.
I don't know. Amazon unveiled a ton of new technology yesterday, including Astro. Astro is a home robot. Here's the official announcement.
Today, I'm thrilled to introduce you to a new kind of household robot. There are still lots of things my home can't do because my devices are stationary.
Uh-huh.
This robot changes all of that.
Mm-hmm.
With Live View and the app, you can send it to check on specific rooms, things, people, even pets.
You say, Astro, follow me. And this thing that basically looks like a Roomba with eyes just follows you around and it has cup holders on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you told it to do. So, yes, that's exactly what you would want it to do at that point. Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, Jeff Bezos, it felt like he was like years behind on the space thing, like just getting his butt kicked by Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, it feels like he kind of wiped the floor with Apple and their announcement day. I mean, he really came out swinging, man. They got a new Ring camera that flies around your house like a helicopter.
Yeah.
It's insane.
He continues more about Astro.
With the Periscope cam, I can also expand my field of view. Now, when you're away, you can use it to proactively patrol your home, investigate activity, and send you notifications when it detects something unusual.
Okay. Let's make this clear.
They came out swinging.
Who wants this? $1,000.
Everybody. Everybody. Look at the hands in the other room. Look at everybody wants this. John wants it. Look at it. Uh-huh. He's got his hand up right now. Everybody wants Astro.
You're dead asleep, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear and you open one eye.
Is that your impression of R2-D2?
No, that's my impression of Astro because it makes noises just like that.
Yeah.
And you open up and there is a tiny machine on three wheels with electronic eyes staring at you.
Are you sleeping on the floor? I want to understand why this is so terrifying.
It has a periscope.
Yeah.
The thing just lifts up like a huge neck to stare at you right in the eye.
But if it has something to tell me, I mean, wouldn't I want him to tell me right then? Like, I mean, if you have a security camera and Astro's hooked up to it, wouldn't you want Astro to be like, psst, there's a dude in your front yard? Wouldn't you want that?
Are we so lazy that we need cup holders on a robot to bring us a Diet Coke?
100%.
Come on.
100%.
Get out of here with that.
Top things I want my robot to do.
Yeah.
Vacuum, which I know we've already got the robot vacuum.
Hey,
relax. This is my list, not your list.
All right.
Okay, vacuum. Mm-hmm. Two, give the dogs treats and calm them while answering the door. And I think I want them to answer the door because that seems awesome that I have a robot that answers the door.
You think your dogs are going to be cool with the robot?
No, I don't. No.
Just making sure.
And then I want him to bring me stuff. Drinks, remotes, you know, stuff like that when I ask him. These are the primary missions of the robot.
It can't go upstairs.
That's all right.
There's been reports that if it's upstairs, it'll throw itself downstairs.
That seems fake.
That's what I just read.
Who got a report? They announced it yesterday. Who's got that report?
I feel they should have figured out stairs before we unveil these killer robots into our house.
Listen, technology takes steps, all right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're baby steps. Sometimes they're big steps. Sometimes they're steps off a cliff.
Sometimes they're just no steps because they can't handle steps. That's it.
Goosefaba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Last week for Wellness Wednesday, I had a stroke of genius. What if we could actually exercise while we were driving? Not everybody was on board with that, but turns out there are some things that you can do to help you stay healthy while you're kind of just killing time. Amy Linus is from fitbodyvibe.com. She's our fitness expert. Amy, you say that's not crazy. There's actually times and places where you're kind of just wasting time and you can get your body feeling and looking better.
Yeah, that's true. You were really onto something. I know we were kind of joking around about it on the air, but you really were onto something. For example, like you were talking about sitting in the car at the stoplights, you were crunching your abdominals. That actually does work. Mm-hmm. Engaging that core, developing that mind and muscle connection and control. You can also take it a step further and kind of squeeze those glutes, too, so that rear end stays nice and tight instead of big and round.
See, I told you, if you squeeze your abs and you make it a game, you can't release your abs until the light turns green. It's going to make you so strong.
I know that you're not a driving instructor, Amy, and you don't work for the RMV, but should we put it in park before we do this? Because it seems like, you know, there could be some slippage. If you strain something, it could get dangerous.
No, just keep it pushed down. Push down.
Yes, definitely. And I don't want you guys getting phone calls from the Department of Motor Vehicle. Definitely put it in park just for extra safety measure.
That sounds wise.
Okay, and now if you would like to do some exercises while you're not driving and killing time, what options do we have for that?
So, for example, if you're making your normal run to the grocery store, park farther away and walk. And then as you're taking out the groceries and loading them onto the belt for the girl at the checkout counter, like curl them up as you're dropping them in. I know you might look a little silly, but you got to get it in. You got to get it in and you'll feel better about it, too. Or when you're on an aisle trying to reach for something on the top shelf, do those calf raises for a few repetitions while you're reaching up.
I actually do that with my grocery bags. Like when I have to bring them into the house, I do arm curls with them.
You curl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, huh. Exactly. Okay. And small changes to your daily life make a big difference. They truly do.
Everyone always says to park so far away. And I always laugh at the people that are like fighting at the gym to get the closest parking spot to the door. Because I'm like, well, what's the point? Like, you came here to exercise. Like, why do you want to, like, ram me in your car?
Yeah, it's counterproductive.
Well, Amy, I won't find myself at the grocery store. And again, I'm a little bit fearful of doing crunches at the red light. So let's say I'm just sitting waiting somewhere, right? I mean, a lot of my life is hurry up and wait. I'm running into a lobby or I'm hanging out at the car dealership while it gets an oil change or anything like that. What can I do there and not look like a maniac?
Deep breathing is going to help you calm your heart rate down and keep your blood pressure at bay, especially if you're in a stressful situation, like waiting at the doctor's office. Nobody really enjoys doing that too much, and sometimes before you have that blood pressure taken, it can be elevated just naturally from being there. So nice deep breathing. We talked about that on one of our first times on the air with you guys. And so that deep breathing is going to work. While you're sitting there, I mean, if you're doing calf raises, it's no different than like shaking your leg when you're nervous. You know what I mean? So I don't think that will draw too much attention to you. So sitting there, raising up on those toes and flexing and squeezing those calves and stretching everything out while you're sitting and waiting around.
That's so much better than me just falling asleep in public, Anna.
Yeah,
you
definitely
know how I like to do that, too.
Raven falls asleep in every waiting room he ever sits in. If there's a couch, he's taking a nap.
I'm sleepy.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Humiliating.
Well, do you snore? Do you draw attention to yourself by snoring?
Here's the thing. I don't know because I'm asleep. I don't know.
Anna, I think you need to follow him one day and just see. That would be hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure he's snoring. That I'm 100% positive of. You want to check out Amy for yourself? You can head to her website, fitbodyvibe.com, or follow her on Instagram at fitbodyvibe. Did you have a nickname growing up that your parents gave you? What was it, and did it stick? More importantly, did it bother you? 1-800-330-9999. So my parents are from Italy. I'm first one to be born here in America.
Sure.
And they always used to call me Zingara or Zingarella, and okay. I never really knew what it meant, and I certainly never asked. I just never like occurred to me because I was so young at the time.
Sure. What does it mean?
Well, I wasn't sure. So the other day, I went to my mom's house. My mom watches my daughters on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we had this conversation. Mom, why did you call me Zingara when I was little?
Because you wanted to know everybody's business, and that's what Zingaras do, the gypsy.
And why do you call Dakota cuckoo?
Because she's crazy.
Right.
So, yeah.
Some things are more obvious than others.
Dakota's my 2-year-old, and she calls her cuckoo, which I always thought was just like a cute made-up name, mm-hmm. but she means like she's cuckoo.
Right.
But it's just the Italian accent makes it sound cuter when
right.
she says it.
Sometimes, you know, nicknames actually are rooted in some sort of reality.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait a minute. So Zingara means gypsy, and it's like somebody that's in somebody else's business. Mm-hmm. So that's why, because I always wanted to know what's going on. Enough for nothing.
Yeah.
But my Italian was so good because as a young person, I taught myself Italian so I could understand what my parents were saying when they were talking
about you because you're nosy.
Right. Because yeah. whenever like they would have conversations like with each other, they wanted to be private. They would only speak in Italian.
Right.
Right. So I was like, you know what? I'll smart you. I'll just understand what you're saying. Zingara.
Yeah.
That's so funny, right?
Yeah. I didn't really have a nickname growing up. Not one that my parents gave me anyways. My wife always calls our dog Turkey. And he's not a turkey. He's a dog. So it drives me crazy.
I hope it doesn't hurt his feelings.
I don't think it hurts his feelings.
Makes him feel less of a man.
He likes all sorts of food. So around Thanksgiving, it gets a little bit confusing. But other than that, I think he's all right with it. He responds to anything.
Some people like get these nicknames from their parents when they're kids and they stick around their whole life. Now, the question is did you like it? Do you like it?
Right, right.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your nickname?
This nickname is very troublesome to me, and I am 64 years old. I don't know what language, Gamblon, which means big legs, chubby legs. And to this day, I see myself with big legs. And you have to be very careful with nicknames dealing with body, especially with girls. Gamblon.
Terrible.
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, my
God. And they think it's cute, right? Because, I mean, they're probably talking about you when you were a baby.
And you're cute.
Really,
they're
right?
Cute
and
legs.
It's like, you know, they always love those chubby legs
oh my
and
gosh.
Cheeks or whatever.
Dakota's legs are so chubby, my 2-year-old, and I just bite them up and eat them. And I
right.
love them.
See, but now you see that the effect of that is that they're bothered
right.
by that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I do have chubby legs at 64, and to this day, it's still bothersome to me. I go to great lengths to try to slim them down. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful with these nicknames.
Yeah, we wouldn't call you pre-diabetic as a wonderful nickname. No. Nobody
would do
that.
Thunder thighs is always very popular.
No, also not a good choice.
Not
right.
Thunder thighs.
Thank you
Absolutely.
For the call.
The other day, I was thinking about it, because my parents gave me a nickname when I was young, Zingara, or Zingarella, depending on the day. My dad called me, and I finally asked my mom, I go, Ma, why do you call me that? I've had it since I was a kid.
Because you wanted to know everybody's business, and that's what Zingaras do, the gypsy.
Yeah, in Italian, Zingara means gypsies. They called me a gypsy. That's what they still call me at 41 years old.
You get in everybody's business then?
I guess.
Like a fortune teller, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. What was the nickname that your parents gave you? Did you like it? Did it stick? 1-800-330-9999.
My name is Amanda, but my nickname is Bo. And everybody called me Bo. And I would introduce myself as Bo. And I had a friend for like 6 years. And then she found out my name was Amanda and could not believe my name was Amanda. She thought I was lying.
Why Bo?
You know the name game, like Amanda, Bo Banda?
Oh!
It got shortened to Bo by my gymnastics coach, and it's stuck ever since.
I like that, though. That's kind of a cool nickname, right?
Yeah, that is pretty cool. But now what if we called you Bo, Anna, because...
No, you know what people call me.
Anna Banana.
Anna Banana. And then I have one girlfriend, Chrissy, that she just calls me Banana. And it's not cute.
What if we just called you Bu? Instead of Bo, you'd be Bu.
It's not bad.
Banana. Right, that's better?
I think you're reaching for the stars.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your nickname when you were a kid?
It wasn't mine. It was my son's.
Oh, what did you give him?
The Kid.
The Kid.
You just called him The Kid.
Yep. Everybody that we associate with knows him as by The Kid.
The Kid. Yeah. I like that. When you put the in front of something, it makes it seem like you're the only one.
Yeah.
Which that I enjoy.
We have one program director that calls Raven the Raven,
mm-hmm.
and it makes me giggle every single time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. We have other people that call me Raymond, and right. Sometimes we get emails from people that are like, they think that Anna is Mrs. Raven.
I love when people call me Mrs. Raven.
Right.
It's a little different. But what happens when your son goes off to college, gets a job, and, you know, he's 37 years old, and they're still calling him the Kid?
Right. He's got a beard.
My son is 24, and he's professional salesman, and, you know, they keep a courtesy, you know, they call him by his regular name, but me and all my friends, they all know him as the Kid.
Anna and Raven, what was the nickname that your parents gave you?
My parents gave nicknames to all my brothers. One of them, my sister's called Madeline. They used to call her Goody. My father got so bad that he went to school looking for a Goody.
Wait.
What?
There was no Goody. Well, I have a sister named Maria. And they used to call her Estelle.
They gave different names.
They just like, you know what? Rethinking it. We'll give him a second name.
My brother's name is Domingo. My brother's name is Domingo. They call him Goro.
I think your parents were just indecisive. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did your parents used to call you?
My name is Angelica. Growing up, my family started calling me Jelly. And for whatever reason, it has stuck through my entire life. And it's just caught on. It's really catchy. People call me Jelly. My friends call me Jelly. The only place where they do not call me Jelly is work. And honestly, it feels kind of strange.
What if you went to your boss and you're like, listen,
I need you to call me Jelly.
Right.
I identify as Jelly.
Man, some parents are savage, right?
Sometimes the nicknames were mean. They weren't meant to be. When it's a kid, you feel like, oh, the kid doesn't know I can call him something cute. But then when you figure it out later on, it could be damaging.
Yeah, so 1-800-330-9999. What was the nickname that your parents gave you when you were a kid? Did it stick? Did it bother you? All that. I just found out recently, my parents to this day call me Zingara, Zingarella.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Italy. And it means gypsy. And the reason why is because they said I was nosy and I was always up in everybody's business.
I mean, not for nothing, but I can see it.
Oh, here we go.
But I can see it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What was the nickname that you had as a kid or you gave your kids? I'm looking at our text line. My ex's family called our youngest picket fence teeth.
Okay. Wow.
Rude.
That is.
Uh-huh.
If you were calling my kid that. If you were my mom and you called my kid that, I'd be like, stop it immediately. I wouldn't let that go.
But it's funny, though, because my mom calls my 2-year-old cuckoo, which I always thought was like just like a cute made up thing.
Sure.
So I asked her, I go, what is cuckoo? She's like, because she's crazy.
Right.
I go, no. Oh, she means like she's cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I now I understand.
Also, some of them make more sense than others, though.
My mom called me Porky Pig until I hit puberty and stretched out a little.
Wow. I mean, at least it went away after puberty.
Mm-hmm.
What if it didn't? I'd hate you forever, Mom.
Daniel wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, they called me the garbage disposal because I ate way too much food. That's kind of like funny, though.
I guess so, unless you're self-conscious about it.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your nickname as a kid?
Hi, my nickname was Tickles.
Tickles.
My dad named me Tickles because sometimes I'm sweet and sometimes I'm sour.
Oh, Pickles. Pickles? Not Tickles.
Pickles.
Okay. I thought you had one of those dads that would just tickle you until you were ready to pee all the time because everybody knows a dad like that.
Yeah.
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 That's a good name. I like that. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
Anna and Raven, what was your nickname as a kid?
Hi. So I have always been very skinny, and my parents used to call me flaca, which is skinny in Spanish. And funny enough, I'm 37 and I have a daughter, and now my husband is calling her flaca too.
It passed on. I might call Dakota Zingarella from now on too, because she's also a gypsy, possibly.
She's in everybody's biz.
Right.
Right. That generational nickname. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did your parents used to call you?
Oh my gosh. So this is really embarrassing. I used to wet the bed a lot when I was a kid. And maybe as a tween, maybe. But they used to call me Parrot Tinkle.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, you're brave for sharing it now. I mean, I got to tell you, I was never a bedwetter, but I mean, I feel like it would be a thing.
Well, I mean, you don't want to be called Tara Tinkle.
Right.
Did it permanently scar you, and do they call you that to this day?
They do not call me this to this day. I mean, they do kind of like when they're teasing me. We have a really great family. My brother calls me that now, like to embarrass me. And for the most part, no. And I do not wet the bed anymore, so that's good.
Well, that's definitely
a plus. I'd sock your brother in the face, though.
No, that's a sibling thing. You hold on to that forever. I still call Joe Buckrack Boy, like every once in a while.
Socked in the face. Socked right in the kisser. Telling you right now, sibling to sibling. Socked in the face.
It's actually embarrassing because it's one of those things, Raven, that I said I was never going to be that person. And then I 100% was that person and I didn't speak up. And I knew exactly what was happening because I'm a pro at it.
Yeah. Inevitably, though, sooner or later, you're going to be this person. It's not like you went into it with intention, but then you stayed there.
I did. So have you ever been the last person at a restaurant? You closed the restaurant. I come from a family of restaurant people. My parents have owned restaurants my whole life. And there is nothing worse than when you have worked all day and you are exhausted and it is the end of the night and you've got table 15 camped out like they are going to literally sleep over on that table.
I mean, they've eaten already. They even have their dessert. They've got coffee in front of them. And yet they're talking to each other like they're never going to see each other again.
Right. And I was that person on Friday night. So I went out with two of my girlfriends. And we went to a restaurant. We had a later reservation. It was 8:15. And we sat and we sat and we girl talked and we ate our appetizers and we ate our dinners and we ate our desserts. And then I started to see that they were getting antsy. And then I looked. I go, oh, no, we're the last table.
Yeah.
And they bring the check and we all, you know, we split the check. And I feel it. But the girls are having such a fun, interesting conversation.
Oh, yeah. We're engorged. This will never happen anywhere ever again.
Now, the waiter comes over and he says, all set with this? Sign number one. He takes the check off the table.
Right.
Right. When you pay and they take the check off the table, that is your first sign that they want you to leave. Second, they clear the coffee cups and all your cocktail glasses.
So this is actually what you're ingesting right at that moment.
So
this is the only liquid you have in front of you at that time.
When they clear the water cups, it's game over, guys.
Right.
Like it's time for you to go. And I know
you're
this.
No longer welcome.
Right. I mean, 100%.
In any etiquette setting, you're no longer welcome.
So my mom, she would give me the nod when it was time to clear the water on the table.
Right.
So, you know, I would wait the tables at the restaurants for many, many years.
Right.
It's a big deal when they take your water glass off that table. Now, my two girlfriends are oblivious, and I'm not speaking up because their conversation is important, and I don't get to see them all that often,
you know? And you don't want to seem like the uptight one who has to remind them about the etiquette in a restaurant because you're a restaurant kid.
Now the lights go up. And it's like they didn't even notice that the lights went up. They start moving furniture around dining room. I go, oh my gosh, guys.
They're setting up for a wedding for tomorrow.
So I hear at the bar, the bartender yell out, and there's a wall between us. Go home! You know? And I'm like, guys, I'm like, we got to go. We closed the place. We walked out. It was like 11:45, which was pretty late for a restaurant.
Yeah.
But I know that
feeling.
For an
8:15 reservation.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was a lot of girl talking that, you know, you know how that goes. But I felt so embarrassed because I became that person that was holding up the whole staff from going home because we wouldn't leave.
They didn't do the thing where they put up the chairs around you, though. They moved around furniture, but they didn't do. Didn't you used to say you guys would send out your uncle and he would sweep?
So
he would sweep close to their feet.
At my parents, one of my parents' restaurant, if it was like the we could not get these people to leave, like they were literally going to sleep there, we send out Zio Damiano with the broom. And he would come out, and Zio Damiano's rough, right? Like, he goes out there, and he's got, like, he's, you know, he's dressed
he's got an
in his
imposing
apron,
look, right?
And he's just sweeping around, and he's, like, hitting the seats with it.
Right.
And at that point, they usually put two and two
sooner
together.
Or later, he'll even, like, he'll dust up your feet, right, if you let it. Oh, I love it.
But the truth of the matter is, it's one thing when you're at a restaurant, and the guests won't leave. It's another thing when you're at home. And you've all had that situation where you're at a party, and you can't get the last guest to leave. What do you do in that situation? 1-800-330-9999. That's next. This is great. On our text line at 1-800-330-9999, my mom used to just say goodnight to everyone and go up to bed and leave my dad to deal with the guests. Yeah. It seems like something I would do. I can't keep my eyes open anymore. I'm going to bed.
I've been tempted to do that with my wife before. So people will congregate in the dining room of my house when the party's over, and I'll go into the living room with the dogs and just hang out and watch TV. But when if I really want them to get the message after that, I go back into the dining room. I sit there. I stare at them, but I don't answer any questions or have any talks.
All right. You're having a party and you've got those last guests that will not leave your house. What do you do to signal the party is over? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
What you do is you go and you get their coats.
Oh, smart.
And I brought their coats. This was my family, by the way. They wouldn't leave. And I brought their coats to them and I said, here's your coats. I got them all ready. And they finally got the hint it was time to go.
Wow. You know, that's a good idea. Yep. See, you know, when you tell people, can I take your coat when they come in, they don't realize it's also going to be used as their ejection seat later on.
Am I the only one that puts everybody's guest coats on my bed? Why do I do that?
No.
Does everybody do that?
You know what? My grandparents do that.
Weird.
Why are you doing that at our age?
I don't know. I guess they have nowhere else to put their coats.
You don't have a closet?
Yeah, but they don't all fit.
Okay.
They always go on my bed.
Well, my wife empties our closet of our coats. Yeah. And then that way there's plenty of room in the closet for the guest coats.
Right. Well, you should keep it upstairs. So you have to go upstairs to get the coats for
them
to leave.
Right. Again, it's the signal. Again, then they know, wait a minute, they're going to get the coats. We're getting kicked out of here.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Thank you for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How do you get people to leave your house?
Well, actually, it's something that my mom always did. If it was the end of the night and no one else was there, we'd go into the kitchen, get them, whether it was a piece of hero or a piece of cake or something, put it in some, Tupperware, and have their coat in her arm and say, why don't you let me walk you to the door?
They give parting gifts.
I like that. Yeah.
Right.
I like the idea of the parting gift. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Here's a cannoli for the ride home.
Right, and it does make the sting go a little bit easier. Right.
I remember it to this day. I always crack me up. Have a good one.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How do you get people to leave your house at the end of a party?
This might be petty, but I turn off all the electronics. Any music, any TVs, radios, whatever it is. It just goes quiet.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, it gets to the point, I'll tell you that.
Well, the first thing that everybody notices is that my wife immediately, as soon as I turn down the music, goes, why did you turn down the music? And then everybody else knows that, wait a minute, mom and dad are about to get into a disagreement about the music. So now it's uncomfortable, so now people are ready to go at that point. You'll hear me about 10:30 or 11, that music just starts trailing. Oh, yeah. It might take me a half hour, but I'll get it down to zero volume.
I feel like my friends are so loud, they wouldn't even realize that the music wasn't on anymore.
It's true. That happens sometimes, too, but you got to be willing to keep going with it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you do to get people to leave your house at the end of a party?
Hey, so my wife and I actually just start cleaning up. Like, we just, you know, we don't say anything. We just, like, fold up the chairs, start vacuuming. I'll take all the cups. You know what I mean? I just... you just make it uncomfortable for people to be there.
The vacuum, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, the clearing the table is one thing, but yeah, when they start taking out the vacuum, that's a different story. You know it's time to go.
I ask people, you done with this? And the second they say yes, that plate, that cup, everything comes right off the table. Comes right off the table. You done with this? Boom. And not only off the table, but I scrape it and it goes into the sink and I'm washing it right then. I'm with you.
Yeah. Once the vacuum goes under their feet, they're out of there.
That's kind of next level. I hadn't thought of that one.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Randy and Morella. Morella, let's start with you. What's going on?
Okay, so I have a tween daughter, which is awesome. She's 11 years old, and she's constantly doing that last-minute call thing or that last-minute ask about sleeping over somewhere or having someone to our house to sleep over. And, you know, she always goes to Randy, and I just, it ruins my whole weekend, because if they're coming to our house, I have to host and it makes me bananas, or I have to change my plans in the morning, or I have to pack her stuff and take it over to where she is. Like, it's just annoying. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really think that they need to be having sleepovers every weekend.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, give me a week's notice. Let me just be considerate.
Randy, why do you keep saying yes every time she asks?
Well, I mean, you only get to be a kid once, and part of fun with kids is sleeping over. And given that they've had a really rough year and a half, I don't have a problem, you know, saying yes and being open to it at a moment's notice. I mean, it's not like we do too much on the weekends anyway, and we don't have to stay up with these two. They're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna light the place on fire.
You don't know that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know, Anna. That's right. You didn't have sleepovers really when you were younger, well, right? Unless it was your cousin's house.
Yeah. So I wasn't allowed to sleep out when I was a kid. That was like a hard rule, and I always resented my parents for that, because every other normal kid in the world got to go to sleepovers, but my Italian parents were not into it.
I grew up in a neighborhood of condos and townhouses and, you know, all those complexes up and down the street, and we were sleeping over somebody's house every weekend. And if we weren't sleeping over somebody's house, they were sleeping over our house. It was all the time. There was seldom every notice. I mean, it got to a point where after a couple of years, we didn't even really ask at that point. We just kind of informed our parents. So I know it sounds crazy, but it's give and take, right? I mean, I could understand as a parent how it'd be a pain. On the other hand, when your kid's like, yeah, I'm going to sleep over my friend's house, unless they're the type that they're going to call up at 2 a.m. and I missed you, I got to come home, unless they're doing that. Like, I mean, it's a break. You get a break.
It's annoying. So my daughter does this. She doesn't do so much anymore, but there was a period where it was a lot. Where she, like, they purposely, like, we would be out somewhere and they would come up and it would be in front of everybody.
Of course.
Like, can I sleep over Stella's house? And then it's like, all right, we have to go home. We have to get your pajamas. We got to get your stuff. I got to bring you back. What time is soccer tomorrow? 10 o'clock. Okay, I'll pick her up at 9:30. And now I got to get up. I got to rush out the door. Like, it does. It disrupts your weekend. I could understand, like, wanting to have a week's notice on things like that. But maybe our audience disagrees.
Yeah. Let's see what they think. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What are your thoughts on these spontaneous sleepovers? The last minute sleepover. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, your child look at you and they're like, can I have a sleepover tonight? And the person is sitting like right next to them. You have like a room full of people and you feel that pressure of, are you going to say yes or no? It's exactly the argument between Randy and Morella. Morella says she wants to put a squash on this. 1 week. You have to give 1 week's notice if you're going to have a sleepover because she needs to prepare. But Randy, not on board.
Yeah, he thinks that's crazy. He's like, come on, they're kids. Whatever. You know, who thinks like that when they're a kid? Frankly, they've had a tough enough year over the past year and a half, and they're only going to be this age one time. Anna, when I was young, we slept over all the time. People slept at my house. I slept at their house. Sometimes the entire weekend. Sometimes we didn't even ask the parents after a while.
No, I wasn't allowed to sleep out, period. That was it. The first time I ever slept out was when I got to college.
My heart bleeds for you.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on her side. You need to know this. You know, which one if your house is messy and you have stuff to do and whatever. You know, it's inconvenient. And my family was like your family. You didn't sleep over anyone else's house but your cousins.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I tell both of you to vacuum your floors. That's all. Thank you for the call.
But now I let my daughter sleep out.
Because you resent that.
I do. I resent it.
You resent the fact that your parents did that to you.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Randy and Morella's daughter always springs last-minute sleepovers on them, and Morella wants to implement this rule where it's a week's notice or don't even ask.
Here's the thing. Kids are smart, right? So if their daughter knows that Morella is hesitant to let her do it, definitely ask in front of people. Put that pressure on. Ramp it up. Sleepovers are part of childhood.
And that's what Randy says. But what do you think? Is it obnoxious that their daughter does this all the time? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the husband's side. I mean, kids don't plan out a week in advance. They plan like a minute in advance. And sleepovers are just part of childhood. Yeah, it's a drag, but you know what? It's going to be over soon enough, and you're going to look back and think it's pretty cool your kids had a whole bunch of fun. I mean, they're fun. I know there's prep, but they're not babies, and I think she's being a little bit too uptight.
Yeah, I'm envious, and I can tell in your voice you are too. You want to have a sleepover tonight, I can tell. Thank you for the call.
She made a lot of really good points.
I mean, she would have kept talking.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the father's side. I have an 11-year-old. I'd like to know if this family has just one child or more than one child. I only have one child, and she does obviously doesn't have siblings. I think it's important. As the dad pointed out, it's been a rough year for the socialization. They go into their room, they play, they talk, they go on their phone, whatever. I'm on the father's side.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on dad's side. You're only a kid once, and you want them to have friends, and it's really not a big deal. My weekends and weeks are so busy, they're so crazy, and it's really not a big deal, I don't think.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Randy, our audience agreed with you. Morella, that's what kids do. I mean, I get it because it's very aggravating to me as well, so I understand where you're coming from. But ultimately, you got to let them be kids. And if they're asking and you can make it happen, you should just say yes.
All right.
Morella, just tell them to get closer friends. They should have been nicer to the neighbor, right? I mean, I get it. Yeah. It's a bit inconvenient, but, you know, the kids, they're going to remember that when they get older, all the fun that they had out with their friends. And you will be a big part of being able to make that happen. So that's nice. Randy, you got to be relieved.
Oh, I am. I mean, it just... You know, I mean, God, with what these kids have gone through, with what they had to deal with for the last year and a half, let them sleep over.
Yeah. All right, you have a problem too? Send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Lisa, we have $2,600 on the line for you. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Lisa.
Okay. All right, Lisa, here's how it works. Raven's walking out of here when that big studio door closes. You can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Okay, number 1. Rumors are saying that Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd are dating after they were seen out together for a second time in L.A. Angelina Jolie portrayed Maleficent for Disney, but in what 1959 animated Disney film was that character first introduced?
Sleeping Beauty.
Number 2, kids are falling in love with Barney all over again now that they can watch old episodes on Netflix. Barney's best friend is Baby Bop. What kind of dinosaur is she?
Oh, Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Number 3, top 3 adult Halloween costumes this year are expected to be number 3, Ghost, number 2, Vampire, number 1, Witch. Which actress plays the Scarlet Witch in WandaVision?
Elizabeth Olsen?
Number 4, it's Banned Books Week, a celebration of the freedom to read whatever books you like. Books that have tried to be banned include 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. How many books were there in the 50 Shades series?
I've read these. 3?
And number 5, Kate Middleton was absolutely beautiful in a gold sequence dress at the James Bond No Time to Die premiere. What's Kate's sister's name?
Pippa?
Not bad, Lisa. Gosh, I wish you got number 2. You would have definitely... Yo. Oh, maybe. I don't know. Lisa got 4 out of 5.
Pretty good.
All right. I wonder if today's a day.
Hmm.
Number 1, rumors are saying that Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd are dating after they were seen out together for a second time in L.A.
So creepy.
Angelina Jolie portrayed Maleficent for Disney, but in what 1959 animated Disney film was that character first introduced?
Have to be Sleeping Beauty, right?
Yes. What's her daughter's name?
Who?
Maleficent's daughter.
I have no idea. I don't need to know.
I should have went that way.
Well, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. Number two, kids are falling in love with Barney all over again now that they can watch old episodes on Netflix. Barney's right. best friend is Baby Bop. What kind of dinosaur is she?
She's a Triceratops.
Yes. Number three, top three adult Halloween costumes this year are expected to be number three, ghost, number two, vampire, and number one, witch. What actress plays the Scarlet Witch in WandaVision?
Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes. Number four, it's Banned Books Week, a celebration of the freedom to read whatever you'd like. Books that have tried to be banned include Fifty Shades of Grey, by E.L. James. How many books were there in the 50 Shades series?
There's three.
Yes. At number five, Kate Middleton was absolutely beautiful in a gold sequence dress at the James Bond No Time to Die premiere.
Mm-hmm.
What's Kate's sister's name?
Pippa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lisa. He took you down 5-4 this morning. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Woo! Dare I say, in fuego.
It's Lisa, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Lisa. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
What's
that
it
one burned
take?
A little bit, I think. Tomorrow, $2,700.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what is it going to take him down.